Good morning. This is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and as the name of the show implies, we are going to be speaking about all things metaphysical for the next hour. And my special studio guest this month is Amanda Butler. And I just want to say thank you for being here. And how are you today, Amanda?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Now, you are a consciousness navigator. What exactly is that?
The way that I would describe it is I basically help individuals and groups in guiding them to explore and discover who they truly are and what their true desires are and what their purpose is. So, mm-hmm. And I do that through a variety of ways. And part of that is energetic healing sessions, conscious choice coaching, and past life regressions, and so on. And what we're looking at is what is it in your life that may be blocking you or limiting you from what you're really wanting to achieve, what you're wanting to manifest? Because people can get to a place and they're achieving so much in their life, like up to a point, but then maybe they're not coming to full fruition of what they really want. Mm-hmm. Or you have people that have achieved what it looks like all from the outside, you know, the houses, the cars, the toys, the family, the beloveds, and so on. But inside, they're not feeling that. They're feeling still empty, and they're looking for something else. So what I'm helping them do is get connected with themselves within themselves, mm-hmm. And then with spirit or with the universe or higher power, God, however you want to term that. You know, there's terms that everyone has for that, for themselves. But truly being connected. For me, I came from 20 years of corporate life, and I had all of that. I had all mm-hmm. the goodies, the six figures, beautiful home, and
wow.
all that.
And you gave that up?
I gave I know. Sometimes you wonder. Sometimes I've wondered mm-hmm. along this journey. But I'm a lot happier than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I haven't had my own struggles and strifes and pain and so on. But all of that is part of the course of learning and growing and healing. It's really the process of life. It's the journey. And what I've learned over the years is it's not about a result or a destination. It's truly about enjoying the ride as you go along, mm-hmm. And even in a place of challenge or even in a place of pain or trauma, that what is it that you can glean from it? What was the lesson from it? What was the pearl from it? What was the gem from it? And basically, when I had all of that, I was so depleted. I mean, physically, I was worn out. Emotionally, I was torn down. Mentally, there was no creativity left. And spiritually, I was just, there was nothing. And I was also financially out of balance. I was in a lot of debt. You know, I had all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was still trying to fill myself up from the outside. Rather than feel from the inside. I didn't have that love of myself that I have now, or that acceptance and that compassion of myself that I have now. And what I teach people is really how to go from that whole place of where you create your life based on fear, based on the past, and based on survival, to a new foundation, a new foundation that really is built solidly on like a rock, and it's based on love, it's based on the present moment, and it's based on thrival. And so it's you're really truly motivated by love versus fear. Most people are doing things through a motivation of fear. And what you learn is that, and what you choose is to no longer do that. That to keep going, doing, so that you can achieve whatever you set out to achieve. But what's the motivation behind it? Is it to prove something to yourself, to prove something to others, to your spouse, to your parents, to your family in general? Is it something to prove to your bosses? So it allows you to say, okay, why am I really doing this? What do I want to do? And even when I got into this work, I went through a stage where I had to even look at that for myself. Like, was it about, you know, feeling good that I was helping people? You know, what did I get out of it? What was the payoff in that?
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a falsehood about it. It was truly genuinely coming to them in a place of service versus servitude. And in that place of service, then it came from the heart, versus that it was something that I was supposed to do. And one of the biggest words that I work with clients on is getting rid of the word should. And what I tell them is it's a four letter word, starting with an S.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do on yourself when you should yourself, because shoulding is what really drives people to really brink of despair on some levels, because they should themselves about what they think they should do, what they should say, and what they're not doing is coming from that true place, that authentic place within them of really what brings them joy, what brings them love. And one of the ways that I define love is living only vibrant energy. Because what I found is a lot of people, including myself, when, you know, oh, I just want to be in love and I want to do love and whatever. Love was such a big concept. What did that really mean when so few of us many times haven't felt that for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And we've mostly felt love through conditions. You know, we didn't feel love free of conditions, like we were given love or we give love due to something or what someone does or does not do. And so it's learning how to really truly be in that vibration of love. And that vibration is this place of living only vibrant energy. So if it's not energizing you, then what needs to be addressed? And are you in the right place or with the right person? And I don't, when I say right, I don't mean it in a judgment sense, in the right and wrong. I mean it is it in your highest order to be with that person or that situation or that job or whatever? And a lot of times it is in the highest order for a certain amount of time so that you can learn and understand, because people are brought into your life and situations are brought into your life so that you can heal, so you can learn, and that you can grow. So when you allow yourself to explore that and really go into depth with yourself, you really find out what some true answers are for yourself versus what you think it should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, what spurred you to change your course of life and give up all those things that you had at one time?
Basically, what I would say, my soul really got a hold of me during that time, and I was in the process of moving up to New York. Our company closed one of our offices when I lived in Tampa, and I was going to move to New York. But my very first day in New York, and it wasn't really what I wanted to do. Maybe 10 years previous to that, yeah, I would have been
married. So wait, you had all these things in Florida,
right?
And you decided to give them up, okay?
Yeah, right now as we're in the midst of winter in Michigan.
Right. Now, are you originally from Michigan?
Yes, I grew up here.
All right. Well, continue on.
But anyways, so my first day in New York, in my office in New York, I sat there and I realized as I went around the office, they weren't really utilizing my gifts and talents. And about an hour later, the general manager called me and said, I said to him, I said, I don't understand why you're moving me up here and why you're not utilizing what I'm bringing to the table. And basically, I feel like a puppet here. And as I'm saying these words, you can literally see me trying to grab all those words and put them back in my mouth, because I realized what I just did was I got myself fired.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, 2 hours later, I was fired. And But it was literally my soul saying, no, don't right. do this. This is not where you're to be. This is not where you're to go. And I knew that because I had already been doing my own work, my healing journey, and so on. And I knew that was the truth. Now, the ego got in the way for a little while. Mm-hmm. But what it did make me do was really surrender into what was my highest order. And it took me on a whole nother journey, so to speak, another chapter in my life. And it closed that chapter. And I would even go to interview for other jobs because people really wanted what I had. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we want to move you to New York. We want to. But every time I went to interview, there was no energy. So I knew if I did that, it would be the death of me, literally the death of me. So I stepped into the unknown. I stepped off the cliff and just went, okay, I don't know what's going to happen here, but, you know, here I am. Mm-hmm. And so what it forced me to do was really take my life down another path. And that's why even saying, especially in this Michigan economy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
With people losing their jobs or being laid off or being given opportunities to take buyout packages and so on, what I say to them, it's such an opportunity. Thank them for that. Thank them for the gift that you get to explore what's next. It's not about what isn't. It's about what's next. And so when there's an ending of something like that, the goodbye is really a hello to, wow, what do I get to do next? And if you can allow yourself to slightly even go into that energy versus the energy of the fear and the survival and how am I going to pay my bills and what am I going to do and all that, and really set that aside and say, thank you for sharing. I understand that that's there. But now this is my time. I have a blank canvas. What do I want to create next in my life? And that's basically what I went through and did. And the last thing I thought I was going to do was be a teacher and a facilitator for healing. That was so beyond what I thought. But I had already been doing healing work and working with myself and others on a different level. And it allowed me to start really going more in depth for myself. And for about 3 years after that, I still had my own kind of corporate marketing company because that's what I came from. Mm-hmm. But as I was doing that, I was doing a lot of in-depth healing work with myself. And the message kept coming through. You're to be a teacher. You're to be a facilitator. You're to be a writer. And it's like, well, what am I going to teach and write about now, you know, after I've done, you know, some of that very core work? Now it's like I don't have enough time. You know, I feel like that I have mm-hmm. so much information pouring through me and that wants to get out. And it's amazing. And it's so much fun having all this creativity. And when I left the corporate world, I didn't feel creative. I was in marketing, and I didn't feel creative at all. Now it's like, give it to me, you know. There's so much that really wants to come forth. So my message would be to those that are listening, that really take that as an opportunity, and you know, whatever change that you're going in life, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a death, or a loss of a job or a change in your job, what is that giving you the opportunity to seek, you know, for yourself? And it will, remember, we don't go back, we only go forward. So whatever opportunity that source or is giving you, then what can you do with it? You know, what's the infinite possibilities and probabilities that can occur mm-hmm. from it?
So basically, it really gets down to the fact there are no accidents in life?
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. There's no accidents and there's no coincidences. Mm-hmm. It's all linked together. We were talking earlier, you know, I just finished an article about universal laws. And universal laws are a structure in which this whole universe was built upon. And it gives you It's a roadmap, and those they give you guidelines, principles to really integrate into your life, and that you can work with that allow you to prosper from that. And if you start utilizing them in such a way that you're conscious of, then so much more will happen for you. It's more synchronicity. It will be easier. There will be much more fulfillment, and so on. You know, we've all heard about the movie The Secret and the Law of Attractions and so on, which I think those are fabulous tools to be talking about. However, if you're not in a place that you're vibrating at what you are desiring to attract, that's where you have the work to do. So, for instance, let's say you go out and what you want is this new job or a new house or a new Cadillac, whatever it is. If you set that as something that you desire, it vibrates at a certain vibration because everything's energy, right? You and I are energy. Right. Everything's energy. Our words, our actions, our speaking, our feelings are all energy. So it's vibrating at a certain vibration, at a certain frequency. So if we're not at that same one, it's going to literally miss each other. It's like they won't connect. But so when you're missing the connection, what is it that is ready to be revealed? What needs to be healed so that you can get up to that vibration? So, for instance, let's say you don't really believe you're worthy of that job. Like, you may not feel you're good enough. Or having a new car, in the back of your mind is a belief system that people that have new cars are, you know, whatever. A lot of people have wealth, as wealthy people are stingy or greedy or whatever. They have belief systems that they may know about or they may not know about. It may be an unconscious thing. And if it's unconscious, it's running the show. And even if it's conscious, it's running the show until you address it, until you heal it. So that's why we go into really energetic repatterning work. And what happens with that is we identify what the patterns are in someone's life and where was it sourced from? And that's when we get sometimes into past life regressions. Not everyone believes in past lives. And if they don't, it doesn't matter, because what we're just going to do is work with an energetic that has been there from whenever. And if we can go to the core origination point, what that allows for to happen is to heal it at that core level. Because we want to heal at causal levels versus symptomatic. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people take the antidepressants because they feel so depressed. They feel, you know, a lot of despair and so on. However, that's only dealing with symptoms. It's not dealing with the causes. When you're doing energy work, when you're healing it at an energetic level, you're going to heal it at a causal level versus a symptomatic level. And I've brought myself from brink of depression, you know, from the depths of despair, and I've brought myself back, you know, and the way I did it was through the energetic healing. But I was willing to go wherever the dark was. I was willing, you know, I love the work that Debbie Ford does, the shadow work, because we live in a world of polarities. We do have what we call the good and the bad and the light and the dark and fear and love and so on. But we can choose what polarity we really want to be living in, or we can just learn how to blend them so that there is no polarity, really. There's unification. And that's ultimately where we're all going to, because we're all healing that separation that we have felt from eons and eons, from source, from ourselves, and coming back into this place of love and this place of unification.
I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest this month is Amanda Butler, and for lack of a better term, we are describing her as a consciousness navigator. Now, you mentioned past life regression. You feel that that is a very effective tool for most people?
Extremely effective. And people that have done it, they when it's not just about remembering a past life, but it's actually about healing whatever happened in that past life that is still traumatizing someone, or that they still have wounds from that. So, for instance, if you have a past life that you remember, and I'll give you an example. I used to be afraid of speaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like being here would have been just deathly afraid of. Well, I use the word deathly afraid of because in the past, I literally have been stoned and killed and maimed for speaking about mm-hmm. energy, for speaking about God, you know, divine source, you know, the light.
Right.
And so what my body, what my cellular memory had within my bodies of consciousness, and I say bodies of consciousness meaning the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, what it had linked in there was that if I spoke the truth about energy and light and God and all of that, I was going to get killed, or, you know, something drastic mm-hmm. would happen to me.
Right.
So
it was not going to be good.
It was not going to be good. I mean, literally, the very first time I was supposed to speak at an engagement, as I knew exactly what I was going to speak about. I was really excited about it. But as the days got closer to the engagement, I started going into this fear, and I could feel everything shutting down. And it's like, what's going on? Well, I came to the source of it in the sense that I was explaining to someone about what I was feeling, and literally said to him, it feels like they're going to throw tomatoes at me. And the minute I said that, my whole body just started shaking, mm-hmm. and I just started crying because I remembered everything that happened in that incident where they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so then from there, I did the energetic repatterning and the healing from it. And I've had client after client that, you know, they've gone into these past lives and they've healed core issues. And once they heal it, sometimes there's different levels of it. Mm-hmm. Like they'll heal one part of it and then they still need to heal another. But when they heal it at that level, it doesn't run them anymore, because what happens is if you have that energy that's running, mm-hmm. that energetic pattern within your cellular memory, that's what you're going to attract, because that's a vibration, that's a frequency. So that law of attraction is going to work there too, because it's going to attract whoever you need to, or the situation you need to, in order to learn and discover what's underneath and then to heal it. So I tell people to think of it like your cellular memory, like a web, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like a grid. And if someone comes into your life, and a great example of that is when you're at work and you have this bossy boss, right? A really controlling boss.
Right.
And they quit their job and go to another job to, you know, get away from that boss. Well, guess what? They have the same type of boss, only this one's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the next job and it's even worse. Well, what's the constant? It's them that are the constant. So what it's showing you is it's not about the bossy boss or the controlling boss. It's about what do you need to heal within you, that you're not afraid of this boss, that you're able to see it in a whole different light, and that you're able to be in control of yourself and feel still vibrant, creative, empowered in your job without whether it's a controlling boss or not. Because most people, if they're trying to control, if there's power in control, that's definitely ran by fear. Because they're afraid on some level of their own of where they're going to lack, or where they're going to fall down on their job, or where they're not going to match up to their boss's expectation, or even their own expectation. So it's a thing of fear versus about truly who they are. Because truly who they are is not that controlling boss. And they don't even really want to be that way, but they don't have any other way. They don't know any other way until they heal their own
thing.
Right.
They don't know how to break that pattern.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so what you get to do is break your own pattern of it, and you get to heal your pattern of it, so that even if you do have a controlling boss, it doesn't trigger you anymore. That you can operate within that at a level of empowerment and creativity and production and so on. And it, you understand, you have compassion for where that person is at, and you actually can even teach them something different by not reacting. But when your patterns are engaged, you're usually reactive, you're triggered, and you even feel out of control, and you don't know why. You tell yourself, next time I'm just not going to let that person get to me.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to let them do that to me. Well, they don't do anything to you. You allow them to,
right,
because you have that wound or that trauma within yourself.
They just think of themselves as being cursed somehow.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a great, right. Yeah.
Well, now, how did you discover past life regression? You did work with yourself, you said?
Yeah. I automatically, I started spontaneously having past life regressions.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I was working with a healer that worked on this level, and she just confirmed for me what was going on. So it allowed me not to be afraid of it anymore, and allowed me just to go into, well, why is this being shown? And some people may even have them in their dreams, and they don't realize they're having it in their dreams.
Right.
And when people can start doing the lucid dreaming, they'll understand that they're going back into some situation or something that happened. So I was fortunate enough that I just spontaneously started doing it. And I say fortunate enough, so I didn't really have to learn how to do it because I already knew how to do it. But that also went to who I truly am, is that I've always worked with energy patterns. I've worked with healing. That's a core essence of who I am. So it's a natural thing for me to be able to do. It also, though, is something that people can learn, and it's a natural ability everyone has. Everyone has their own psychic abilities, if you want to say that, but they have their own abilities to really go deep within themselves, and everyone may be different. But the past life regression work is really something that I find as a very powerful and useful tool. Sometimes people will see everything like a movie, like it's like a movie playing.
Right.
That's how I see it. Other people just have a sensation or an image or an impression of it. They may only get colors. But the key piece, the key element of it is that they feel it. They feel what the fear is. They feel, you know, what that past life brought to them. So, you know, there's been times when I've literally felt engulfed in flames. You know, not everyone will feel that, but I felt the fear of being, you know, engulfed in
right.
flames. I felt the fear of having someone stab me or whatever. And those are all the... We're talking about all the nasty stuff, so to speak.
Right.
It also, though, helps you get in touch with all the other elements of who you are, because there were very positive experiences. It gets you in touch with knowing who you were truly in another lifetime, and, you know, the power that you were in those lifetimes, and so on. We can utilize past life regressions for all of that. It's not just about bringing just the nasty stuff. And when I talk about that, again, it's not the good or bad. What the past life regressions allow you to do is become aware of what within you is in alignment with love and your true self, and what's out of alignment with your love and your true self. So, like the experiences that I talked about, what I decided from those experiences was I would not speak the truth again. I would not, you know, verbalize. I would not write about it. I wouldn't teach about it. But when I saw actually the other part of what I did in doing that, I mean, how I brought forth information that touched many people's lives. It was only a few in which that had to do what they did because they were so afraid of what they didn't know. And when you can do that, when you can understand the whole perspective of it, not just the one element, what it does is allow freedom for yourself. and allow you to recapture that piece of who you were back then and bring it forth and remember it. And it is like a remember, R-E, and then dash member. Mm-hmm. You're remembering parts of yourself and bringing that, and you're tapping into that. When I quit corporate work, on some level, I knew I was pretty intuitive. I mean, I basically even did my business that way, mm-hmm. without putting words to it and without really knowing that. But as I did more and more my own healing process, I realized how very intuitive I was, that I was claircognitive. I knew things without knowing why I knew things. Also that I was clairaudient, and that gift came back, where I hear things. And it's just like you and I speaking.
Right. And it's that little voice in the back of your head speaking to you.
But it's not even a little voice. It's literally like you talking to me.
Okay.
So it's not like in my head. It's like I hear, you know, I'll literally turn around at times thinking someone's behind me speaking.
Mm-hmm. And you're not crazy. It's just something that happened.
Right. But when it first happened, when I really, that first experience, it was like, okay, what's going on? But I knew enough because I'd been around enough healing work and enough people that channel and do different things that I wasn't afraid of it. But I didn't know that that was a gift that I had. And then as I kept clearing out the garbage, so to speak, and getting my channels more in alignment with love and my true self, then my other gifts came in. You know, the clairvoyant and the clairsentient, you know, that I can feel things. But everyone's different. My strongest gifts are the claircognitive and clairaudient, where other people can be very strong and clairvoyant or clairsentient. Whatever it is, it's really honoring that for yourself and not comparing yourself to others. Like, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. Because, you know, during the process, I did that at first, too. And it's like, well, wait. These are my gifts.
You are who you are.
And really understanding that we are unique and really honoring and respecting and loving that and accepting yourself as who you are. And one of the things that I teach in the Healing Present and Past Life Energetics class is how we're all unique and that we all come in with these unique set of adamantine particles. And those adamantine particles make us up.
Well, what is that?
An adamantine particle is the most subatomic particle in the universe. It's the smallest particle within the atom. Mm-hmm. Within energy. But within that, let's say as an outbreath of God, we had our unique set of adamantine particles. Their original state is love. But they also carry, or they also pick up experiences. They retain every experience that you ever had, good or bad, remember? Mm-hmm. In alignment with love or out of alignment love. They pick it all up. They bring it all in, and you carry that along in any incarnation that you are, because it's part of you. It's your part of your blueprint.
Right, it's that cell memory.
Right, it's that cellular memory. Mm-hmm. So, but your original divine blueprint was love, was just completely love. But as the experiences happen, you picked up these other things. So what happens is when you do like a past life regression or an energetic healing work, what we do is repattern those adamantine particles, bringing them back into alignment with love, bringing them back into that wholeness of who you are, and so that you complete that, it's complete. And there's literally scientific things about that out there, about how our cells, when it's wounded or when it's traumatized, it will close down and it won't let in energy, or it won't receive what you want it to receive. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a fear about love, because a lot of people want love, but they have fear about love because their equation from these other experiences is love equals pain. So if love equals pain, then you're only going to let yourself go so far in a loving experience. So let's say it's in a romantic relationship. You're only going to let them get so close before you go, nope, that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. This is as much as I'll love. And it also starts being conditional love. Like, I'll only love him or her if they act like this, or if they do this, or if they treat me like this. Well, that's not true love. So when you heal this, the adamantine particles in the cellular memory, and you repattern it to love equals love, guess what? That's what you can attract. Mm-hmm. That's what you can have in your life versus the love equals pain. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. And what also makes sense is the fact that we are WHFR.FM. The station making waves, and the name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special in-studio guest this month is Amanda Butler, and she is a consciousness navigator. Now, I'm just curious, do you feel that past life regression is the most potent tool that you use?
I think it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. but as far as for the one I use, that's one of the most potent pieces. Mm-hmm. I think it's doing that work, but also doing the conscious work, which is also around conscious languaging. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you saying? What are you doing? So that as you do that, as you're conscious about what's occurring within you and around you and what your manifestations are, then you can start tracking that back to what's going on the inside. And the inside piece is then tied into the cellular memory, tied into the energetics that you have within you. And then I feel the past life regression, or at least energetic healing work. Again, some people have as far as a religious belief, that they don't believe in past lives. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to propose right. that you have to believe that.
Mm-hmm. You don't push it, in other words.
No, mm-hmm. no. It's whatever works for them.
Right.
But I will stand on the energetic healing piece is mm-hmm. extremely important. It's the only way to get through what someone wants to get through. Because you can't just do it intellectually. And, I talked about this movie, The Secret. They had great things that they said in The Secret. However, what they didn't tell you is how to do it. Because, again, we go back to that vibration, right? If you want that specific job or house or Cadillac, but you're not vibrating at that, no amount of thinking is going to get you there. Mm-hmm. You have to feel it. And if you don't feel that you're worthy of attaining that or achieving that, then you're not going that's not going to happen. The manifestation is not going to occur. Mm-hmm. So it's doing the core work around that, and sometimes it's even refining. It's like fine-tuning in a radio station, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you're not on the right frequency, you're not going to hear it real clear, right?
Yeah.
So if you keep turning the dial just a little bit, then you're going to get to the radio station and it's going to come in clearly.
Right. Well, hopefully anyway.
But if you don't, if you're not even conscious that you're out of tune, and that's where I think the conscious languaging piece comes in very strongly. Mm-hmm. But I have, from my own experiences, have felt that the past life regression work is extremely important, or again, the energetic healing work. Mm-hmm. If you don't heal it on that energy cellular level, you will not be thinking the most pristine things. You will not have the highest order thinking mm-hmm. there. You will not be connected with yourself,
right?
And you won't feel it. And you have to have that connection with universe, that thinking, that divine mm. mind piece, and that heart piece in order to really truly manifest in physical form.
Right. In other words, you won't progress in life?
Well, we're always progressing whether we want to or
right.
not.
Or whether it's the direction we want or anything like that.
Right. We may be going down a path that's more difficult than we need to. And I've done it myself. I've chosen some very difficult paths, but it's the way that I needed to learn I really had to kind of get hit on the head, so to speak, or really go down that deep hole in order to get the lessons.
Right.
And some of us do it that way. Some of us do it in a very, very painful way. And human nature, I say unfortunately, but, you know, we tend to do that. We have to create crisis in our life in order to really make the changes, in order to create what we really want.
Mm-hmm.
And but we don't have to do that. We're really, if you think about what's going on in the world, our consciousness is shifting. And but most of us are used to creating in struggle, that, you know, got to work hard for the money, you know, got to work hard, got to do, you know,
mm-hmm. pay your dues,
you know, all those sayings that we grew up with, right? And mm-hmm. that our parents grew up with, and from before. Well, all that's an energetic, right?
Because
mm-hmm. it's things that we say, it's things that we do. So if we have the belief system that we got to work hard for our money, well, guess what? We're going to work very hard for our money.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, you know what, the universe is abundant and prosperous, and I can receive that, I can allow that, and I'm open to receiving it. But most people have some sort of blockage energetically to that. And they think they have to do it the hard way in order to really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that. I used to claim that I came from the school of hard knocks.
Yes. Was that true?
Not anymore.
No, okay.
No, I reclaimed that.
All right.
I broke that vow. I said, no, I don't have to do that.
Well, I'm just curious. Do you feel that most people operate from a basis of fear?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And one of your jobs is to help overcome that fear to achieve some of the things that they are interested
right.
in?
Right. What I help them do is realize that their foundation is based on fear, based on the past, and based on survival, and to help them identify that for themselves. So if they, let's say that whole piece around love,
mm-hmm.
if they have a fear of rejection, what are they going to do?
They're going to be afraid of rejection.
Right.
Or afraid of committing themselves.
Right. Or if they commit themselves, they'll commit only to a certain level, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, with the boss example, that same pattern is going to happen again and again in their lifetime. They're going to attract the people that are going to hurt them somehow.
Right, right. They're going to attract the people that hurt them, and to ensure that they won't get too hurt, they're going to push them out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens a lot in relationships, right?
Right.
They'll only let them get so close, and then they'll start creating a lot of stuff around whatever, and they'll start pushing them away, and eventually push them out the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know my problem.
Right. They're going to get rid of them before they get rid of, before that person gets rid of themselves.
Right.
Right?
They're going to take the initiative and
absolutely.
Take charge.
And whether they realize it on a conscious level or not, that's what they do. They create all these dramas and all this pain. And a lot of times people are taking the other person's inventory. And then what the mind does when it's engaged in the fear is it's going to collect all the data it can,
mm-hmm.
all the evidence, so that there's no chance for that person ever to show up the way that you would like them to show up. There's no chance that they'll ever be able to love you enough. I've had relationships, and this can be even with friends, and it was in particular with a friend. She was so wounded that she needed so much love from outside of herself,
mm-hmm.
that she just sucked people dry, so to
mm-hmm.
speak, and she would just take all of their energy, every well wish that they had, to the point that it depleted the other person if they let that happen,
mm-hmm.
if the other person let that happen. And what I realized with this woman was that there was no way I couldn't give her enough to make her satisfied, because her appetite was such, there was no way I could fill that appetite. There was no way her husband could or anyone else could. And she had a lot of problems with people because of that. And then, of course, then what was she creating? She was creating rejection, that people were like, enough.
Mm-hmm.
because they had to take care of themselves.
Right.
And I, there would be, if you watch your relationships, then I knew enough to take care of myself that I wasn't willing to let her deplete me or let her make me feel bad about myself because I didn't show up a certain way that she wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start looking at there's a great law, universal law, and it's universal law of reflection. What is the universe reflecting back to you? What is it mirroring back to you? Well, I was very clear that I wasn't going to engage with her on that level. So I did have to complete the relationship with her because it was too much. It was just, I at times did allow her to take way too much from me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that, I went, wait a second. No. I honor myself and respect myself not to have that. So I completed the relationship and I really looked at why would I want to attract someone like that? What did I need from that relationship
right.
in order? And part of what I learned about myself is in order for me to feel good about myself, I wanted to give.
Right, or help her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people will do, especially mothers. They'll give.
Right. Well, women in general sometimes.
Right. Exactly. Just give to the point of that they have nothing left for themselves. And then they get to be right about how everyone just takes everything from them
right.
or they, you know, whatever.
Right, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when we can look at all of that, it starts unraveling. Different patterns start unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one pattern, it's like a thread, it's like a cloth. And as you unravel one thread, one pattern, then another pattern is usually engaged on some level. And, you know, so as you start unraveling it, it becomes... Sometimes you feel like a house of cards,
mm-hmm.
and which is okay. Remember, because when you have a foundation based on fear, it's really based on a house of cards on sand. There's
mm-hmm.
no solid foundation. But this new foundation that you can build that's based on love, it doesn't look for anything from the outside. It doesn't look for validation from the outside or acceptance or even love from the outside because you have it within yourself. So no matter what anyone else does or any situation, even if it's in the midst of chaos and in the midst of something very challenging and a crisis, that you can keep centered, stable, and connected with yourself and just move through it rather than it move you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. So in other words, a person has to love and accept themselves in order to progress.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I really teach about is how to come into that place of falling in love with yourself, being compassionate with yourself. Most people have no idea how to be compassionate with themselves and also to nurture themselves, to really bring that wholeness to themselves versus from someone else or from something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, it's really resolving that need for things outside of yourself, the need for addictions, all kinds of addictions, you know,
right.
whether it's drugs, sex, drama, you know, rock
right.
and roll.
Right. Well, yeah, music
right.
can be many different
but,
things.
But, you know, food.
Right. It's too much. It's
right.
in excess.
Right. And that's just, you know, people trying to fill up from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that void they feel from the inside.
Right. They're not working on the core problems.
Right, right. The core issues.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if any of our loyal listeners wanted to get in touch with you. Do you have any information on how they can do that or anything coming up as far as classes go?
Yes, thank you. They can always call me.
Okay.
And my phone number is 248-350-8997. Again, 248-350-8997. And then I have my workshops listed on a website, and that's www.stellargaia. It's StellarGaia.org. And so I have workshops that are listed, and most of my workshops are around healing present and past life energetics. That workshop is actually going to be Saturday, May 17th. And then I also have a workshop called Create Your Vision Board and Manifest Your Dreams, which help people get in contact with what they really want to create, because a lot of people don't know what their true desires are. Mm-hmm. And that's on Saturday, April 5th. And if they want to just get a little bit of an inkling as far and a little bit of an experience about what a past life regression is or energetic healing, I'm doing what is called a Super Saturday on March 29th, and that's from 9 to 3 p.m., and people can come in and have half an hour mini sessions, and just so that they can start feeling and experiencing and tapping into that place within themselves. And many people that come out of that come out of it really relaxed and really energized, and have a place of hope as to if they're really dealing with something difficult.
Right.
And I also do what is called mini soul readings, if they kind of want to know what's going on right now with me, what do I need to do next. And so those will be half an hour sessions during that Super Saturday, and they can call me at 248-350-8997 to schedule those during that Super Saturday. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy working with people on this level. The type of clients that I have are ones that want to go in depth, that want to really discover, you know, those things that are holding them back. Or, and they may even know what's holding them back on some level.
Right.
But they want to find out how to heal it and move on it. You know, it's that they're done with it. Like, this no longer works for me. I don't want to be here anymore.
It must be very rewarding to do this kind of work, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I've seen people change their lives majorly, you know, and just become so much more empowered and light, and just this one client's flashing up in front of my eyes right now, and who she is now. She came in as this little meek, mild woman, and really didn't want to speak who she was or the truth of anything, and felt disempowered and felt like nobody really honored her, but she didn't honor herself. And now she is this really beautiful, confident, loving. She goes out and gets whatever she needs. She speaks her truth. Her husband doesn't really quite know
what to do with it.
But he's actually enjoying it because, but he married someone different, and but it's helping their marriage in such a way that they're really creating this new marriage, this new sacred union. Mm-hmm. And what I teach them is how to create it within themselves first, and then they have it outside of themselves. So, but it's really beautiful to see people go from that whole survival level to thrival.
Right.
Go from that fear to love, and go from living in the past to living in the moment and really consciously creating their future.
Mm-hmm. Well, change can be scary.
It can, absolutely, because it what you do know is familiar, and what you don't know is uncomfortable. And you notice I didn't use what you do know is comfortable, because you may not be comfortable where you're at anymore.
Right.
But it is familiar. And your mind sometimes will want you to stay there. And part of what we really work with is how to uplift the mind into the divine mind, letting go of those fears and those belief systems.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but it's been very interesting. And I do thank you, Amanda, for being here. Once again, thank you very much for doing the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.